Praise the Lord. Well, we're so very, very excited to have Brother Larry Booker in the house today. We so very much appreciate his ministry and the signature that he's left in this house in times past. And we're hungry for the Word of God today. Brother Booker is used all over the Apostolic Fellowship. He is an absolute blessing to the Church of the Living God from all perspectives. He's ministered for many, many years in independent churches and organized churches and disorganized churches. And so he is a bridge work in the apostolic work for all kinds of church fellowships. But I'm just glad he's a part of the church. And I'm glad that we're involved in the house of God and in the church of the living God today. Can you say amen? Brother Booker, we love you. We appreciate you. We want you to come and take your liberty today and tell us whatever the Holy Ghost has laid on your prodigious heart.
How many love Brother Sutton? Isn't he a good guy? Precious man of God. Amen. We love Brother and Sister Sutton. We love to be around them and be around their neat family. Amen. And we thank God for them and for the years of meeting their acquaintance. You know, it dawned on me yesterday, I've been coming here for 10 years. I can't believe that. Man, that really blows me away. I was only 29. I'm teasing. Anyway, I've been coming here for 10 years. And great, great church, great place to come. And I know that every time I come, I always see new faces. And you've grown a lot since 10 years ago in your little building that you had. But I come back this time, and I know it's Sunday morning, and I know there's people scattered throughout these facilities. But I'm going to tell you, lots of new faces. Of course, I know he was in a long revival with Brother Marks. And this is just neat to see. Neat to see. I'm excited. Excited about what God's doing for you and with you. Amen. And while you're standing, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 3. I will let Brother Sutton take care of having Sister Brenda Booker make remarks tonight. If she had to do it twice in a day, either he or I one would be in trouble. she's not an upfront person, but she's a very sweet person. Great, great, great lady. Thank God for her. And I'm going to tell you, Brother and Sister Sutton, speaking of impact, when they came to our church this last year, they had a profound impact on our church. Very profound. And then he preached such a magnificent message up at the No Limits Conference in Sacramento. And that one got me. That one got me. Really, really helped me. And then he's been a busy man because he just preached in Tulsa at the Summit Conference. And I'm just going to tell you, he blew the doors off the hinges. He really did. And the most important thing is that they were doors of the heart. They were doors of the heart that we can't afford to have closed. Not in this day and age. Not in this day and age. We better be open to God and open to people and open to needs and open to being used of the Lord to really help people in this generation. Because they need it. Can you say amen? They need it, they need it, they need it. So, anyway, we've had church so far today. Just great church. But I guess I better say something. Praise God. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to turn with me to Romans 3 and Romans 9. We're going to read two verses from the first of the third chapter of Romans. Then we're going to make our way over to the ninth chapter, the first of the ninth chapter of the book of Romans. Praise God. We're just so thrilled to be here. We're so thankful for everybody that is here, and looking forward to what God's got for us today and for tonight. Amen. Verse 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 3 tells us, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Then in verse 2, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. So here was a people that were blessed much in every way and had great advantages because they were God's people. Then in Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, these people who the greatest blessing they had was the oracles of God. Now the apostle is writing, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. In words, the heart has amazing capacity to embrace continual sorrow and joy unspeakable at the same time. But it can, because we're made in the image of God. Verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Please note verse 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, they had an awesome heritage, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. What a litany, what a lineage, what a blessing. Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. And let's ask one more time that the word of the Lord would have free course, and that this morning, God would absolutely, indeed, and very deeply talk to every last single one of us. Lord Jesus, we are utterly, utterly, unbelievably, God, thankful, and we are aware of your presence. We ask, God, that your word would indeed touch us and minister to each of us. Let it have free course. Oh, God, work effectively by your spirit and word. Touch this people. Touch your people. Touch every individual that you've brought into this house, because we are souls that you have created and that you love and that you came to Calvary for. So, God, we commit this service and our hearts and all these lives and this word into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. God bless you so much. You may be seated. Thank you for your patience. Amen. And standing with me. By way of as little reiteration as possible, we are reading here from the writings of the Apostle Paul, very, very, very fascinating, very important, pertinent information concerning the people from whence Christ came and from which, of course, the Apostle Paul came. And that is the Jewish peoples of the earth. And life has interesting slants and ways. I don't know that I made mention of this. Now, when I read all of this, there's a part of me that steps a little to the right or the left and checks it out a little closer. I may have mentioned this last time I was here, but I've recently found out I had a grandmother by the name of Rena Macbeth. A very, very, very dear lady, always so exceedingly kind and very, very good and sweet to me. In fact, in my later years, my teen years, when I began to go bad and go the way of fallen flesh, I would sometimes have dreams where I was very, very convicted and condemned of my sinful ways, and my grandmother, Rena, would be in my dreams looking at me very disapprovingly of my actions. Well, my grandmother was always an enigma to the family. Nobody knew much about her. And anyway, her maiden name was Schuler, and we just found out within this last year that she was a pure-blood German Jew. And Schuler was a Jewish name of many Jews in Germany, and that because of anti-Semitism, even going into the 20th century, when they moved over here from Germany, they hid their Jewishness, joined the Lutheran Church because they were afraid that America would be anti-Semitic as well. And so she is, of course, mother to my mother, and they count the lineage through there. So technically speaking, though I am Jewish and German and Scotch-Irish, sounds like Charlie Mahaney, but anyway, technically speaking, could be counted as Jewish. I'd probably have a hard time getting into Israel because you have to be practicing. You either got to be an atheist or be Jewish. I mean, practicing. So, anyway, there all that is. But with that, it does make me stop and think just a little bit more, though I've always had an inner fascination with the Jews, and from the time my boys were babies, I would wake them up with Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Be all that as it may, Paul says, what advantage does the Jews have? Then he goes on to the ritualistic aspect of it by way of Abrahamic and Mosaic covenant. What profit is there of circumcision? Well, when it comes to being a Jew in the sense of a biblical Jew, there is great advantage as much every way. But the greatest is that they were given unto them, committed unto them, the oracles of Almighty God. And then he goes down in the 9th chapter and again gives a litany. But this litany of all of the things that were at their doorstep that they should have embraced and should have loved and should have lived and were thrown away, brought Paul a continual sorrow in his heart. To the point, he did not say that he wished he were accursed. He said, I could wish. I could wish. Now, there is a difference between saying, I wish I was accursed for them, and saying, I could wish. He's stating, I don't want to go to hell for nobody. And as much as I want to help them, I don't want to go to hell for anybody. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm going to stop you right here and tell you, I don't care who's living what, don't go to hell for them. You don't want to go to hell for them. No, 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 no. When it comes to that, brother, I'm going to tell you, there's a getting off point. And I've heard the people make the little silly remarks. Amen. Well, that's okay. I'll go to hell. I'll be down there with all my buddies, and we'll have one long party. It ain't going to be no party, brother. and you do not want to go there. I don't care if the whole world's there. You don't want to go there. And Paul understood that. That's why he importantly put in the word could wish. Amen. But they did bring him a continual heaviness because they were his kinsmen after the flesh and they were Israelites. And yet he knew what had happened. He knew of the great visitation of God Almighty and the man Christ Jesus. Their long-awaited Messiah, their Savior, had come unto his own and had been rejected. Now, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. And granted, there were multiple thousands upon thousands of Jews that did embrace Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Amen. But overall, in general principle, as time went by, amen, it dwindled. It went less and less and less. There was a host of reasons for that. That's all interesting, but that's not what we're here for. But regardless, to say 100 years after, amen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you would be hard-pressed to find very many Jews, amen, living for Jesus Christ. You'd be hard-pressed after 100 years after his resurrection, and it grew less in time. A lot of that was the fault of what came to be known as Christendom and the things that they embraced, amen, as they departed from the true apostolic faith of Jesus Christ as given through the apostles. And everybody said amen. Amen. But being all that as it may, now, you know, this is Sunday morning, and I know you guys get with it on Sunday morning, but at the same time, we're kind of ready to sit and listen, so I hope you're ready to sit and listen. Amen. At the same time, the people as a whole, this Jewish race of people, Bible tells us in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, amen, the 3rd verse, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And they did not follow through. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And brother, you are born again into him. And that's where our righteousness comes. It's bestowed upon us. And if you think, well, that's a shame for those Jews to fall into that trap, I'm going to tell you something. Just take the word Israelites out of there and who, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. How many denominal names could be inserted there? Who, being ignorant of God's righteousness, amen, go about to establish their own righteousness and do not submit themselves to the righteousness which is of God. I'm going to tell you, it's an easy trap to fall in. Brother, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad Simon Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, these people that were baptized today, that wasn't just some symbolic nicety. Brother, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. These that have received the Holy Ghost, it is not just some spare tire in a car going down the highway of life. Brother, everybody's got a flat. You got to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 It's the greatest, most beautiful, powerful, wonderful thing, and it is necessary. Amen. And it's wonderful. Hallelujah. So don't get your have to's and your gets mixed up. Amen. Do I have to be baptized? No. You get to be baptized. Do I have to have the Holy Ghost? No. You get to have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's an honor. That's like sitting in an attorney's office when he's reading your great, rich aunt's will. And they have just left you $5 million. I don't say a million anymore because a million ain't what it used to be. Praise God. I'd still take it, though. But anyway. And they're going to leave you $5 million. But they say, for you to inherit the $5 million, you must come over here and sign these papers. Do I have to? What? I don't want to have to sign my name. I guess you have to, but you don't have to inherit $5 million either. I'm going to tell you, this is a wonderful gospel. This is good news, brother. This ain't bad news. This is wonderful news. You say, you mean that's the way Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm just glad he made a way. I'm just glad I'm here. I'm just glad I get to hear it. I'm just glad I got a chance to obey it. Woo! Hallelujah. But what happened to Israel? The apostle tells us in verse 21 of chapter 10, but to Israel he saith, all day long I stretched forth my hand to a disobedient and gainsaying people. I reached and reached and reached to no avail. 11 and 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am in Israel, to the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And that's pretty sweet too, praise God, because he's still working. He's still calling. He's still dealing. In fact, it might be interesting how many people I'm looking at right now are Jewish. And you don't know it. But it don't matter. Paul said, what I counted as gain, I count but dung, that I might win him. There's nothing greater in the world than this one God, Jesus' name, apostolic truth. It is sublime and it's glorious. Amen. But as a nation, were they broken off? Yes. But they were broken off because of unbelief. And he said, as for you and I, let's don't be high-minded, but let's fear. I said all that to say this. What they had, what was given them, the much blessing every single way. Old Testament promise, I'll bless the water. I'll bless the bread. I'll bless them in the field. I'll bless them in the home. I'll bless their children that none shall cast their young. I will bless them with old age. Amen. I will smile upon them. I will give them rain in their due season. I will give them victory over their enemies. And on and on and on. And then the little list that Paul gives here. The adoption. The adoption. Can I tell you how beautiful it is to be adopted of God? He said he found them in a waste, howling wilderness. They were a baby that hadn't been swaddled or salted. Amen. But he took them up. They were covered with blood. And so God took them to his own people. He cleansed them. He put his name upon them. He brought them out of the cold. He raised them up. Can I tell you, that's a good God, brother. That's a good God. That's a good God. That's a good God. And I also know what it is to be adopted. I remember when I was in the just going into the summer before my fourth grade year, and my mother married my stepdad, amen, and his name was Art Booker. My name, again, prior to that was Larry Macbeth, amen, and my mother, my brother and I gave us, just brought us under the fold and put us under my grandfather's name, amen, and I remember standing there signing the papers for the first time. Amen. The last time of my life, I signed Larry Macbeth. And the first time in my long life, I wrote Larry Booker as I was officially adopted by my father. Amen. By my stepfather, who I just call him my father. And how good it felt to be adopted. And how for the first time I was sitting in a home and I watched men come in and put down carpet in the house, and how I saw them, amen, come in and put a new dining set there, and how I saw them bring a new couch into the house. Now that's pretty good for a boy that for a while lived in a house with a dirt floor, stone walls, tin roof, and the only wall in the house was a army blanket. And I used to watch my mother cook food in a Folgers coffee can. It meant something to me to be adopted, brother. It meant something for somebody to take me in and love me and say, I'll be good to you. Well, brother, if that was good, you should have seen when he found a 19-year-old hippie boy. Amen. Messed up on drugs, skinny as a rail, patch patches for pants. Amen. When he filled me with the Holy Ghost, I went down in water in the name of Jesus Christ. He started a life in me. I'm going to tell you, brother, it's awesome to be adopted. Hallelujah. But Israel threw away the adoption, the glory. They threw away the covenants. They threw away the law, the service of God, the promises. They threw away the heritage. And here's the title of what I want to preach about. That's an awful lot to throw away. That's an awful lot to throw away. How sad to throw something that precious away. How sad. Remember one time hearing Brother Mooney talk about him and his wife went to a sale. Somebody had died and the descendants were selling the goods of the house. And he saw a painting there and he really liked the painting. He really liked the painting and he loved the frame that it was in. And he told his wife, said, they wanted like less than $50 for the frame and the painting. And he told his wife, said, I'm going to get that. She goes, we don't have anywhere to hang it. He said, but look at that. She said, we don't have anywhere. What are you going to do, put it in the garage with everything else you got? And so she finally talked him out of it. She talked him out of it. Somebody come and said, well, I don't want that frame, but I'll take that painting. And so they took it out of the frame. He watched it all happen. And a few days later, he reads, great find of artwork lost, amen, for years and years and years and years and years. And I'm thinking it was worth like $2 million. And said the frame was worth $1 million. And he went back to the house. Do you still got the frame? The frame? Yeah, the lady bought that frame. And the picture took it out of the frame. Said, oh, no, man, we just broke it to pieces and threw it in the dumpster. It's a shame to throw away. You know, it's easy to throw away something if you don't know its value. Amen. We need to recognize the value of what's happening here today. The value of the glory, the value of the covenants, the value of the blessings of God. How good it is to have an advocate that we can come to. I'm going to tell you, brother, amen, if there's sin in your life and you can come to the advocate and God can reach down and God can cleanse and God can touch and God can heal and God can set free and God can deliver. Brother, that ain't nothing to trifle with. Take care of it. Amen. Recognize it for how precious it is and don't ever, ever, ever let it go. That's why Solomon said, when you get the truth, buy it and never sell it. Never sell it. Amen. But when you go back through history, and I'm not going to major on these, but Adam and Eve in a garden of blessedness, paradise, Eden, nothing harms, hurts, defiles, total innocency. Oh, Brother Sutton, I wish I could have pastored in the Garden of Eden. I could have got up. It had been easy to go to one service a week there. I don't know how people do it now, but there you could do it. You can't do it here now. But anyway, and say, our lesson for today, listen up. Don't eat. Don't even touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God bless. We'll see you next week. Man, I could have got into pastoring in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Next week? Okay, everybody, listen up. But the Bible says, man hath sought out many inventions. Woo, hallelujah. And in this 21st century pastoring, it is something else. Hallelujah. And when you realize what Adam and Eve tossed away. When you think of Naomi and her husband, her sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And yeah, there was a famine there in Israel. They left Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, and they went over into the land of Moab. And there she lost husband, then she lost son, then she lost her other son, and then she gained, but she gained two daughter-in-laws, and one of them kissed her, but another one clave to her. And she came back and she said, Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Call me Mary. Amen. Because I'm bitter. Because I went out full and I've come back empty. And I've thrown so much away. Can I tell you something? If you've got this blessed, precious truth and experience, don't throw it away. Don't head out to the land of Moab. Amen. If you go through a little dearth or a dry time or a trial and the blessings aren't flowing as rich as you think and you can't quite get up as high and your heart's a little, don't check out. Don't check out. Amen. There's times of refreshing that will come from the presence of you. Hang in there, baby. Don't throw it away. He's too good. He's too big. He's too mighty. You say, but I've been praying about something. I've been knocking on the door and I've been asking God for something and then he won't give it. He won't give it. He won't give it. So I just feel like checking out. You hang in there, brother. I heard a story one time about a mother that was busy. She was washing dishes, doing this, that, and the other. And a little boy, Mama, I need a cookie. And I'll get it to you, baby. Mama, I got to have a cookie. Just hang in there. And finally she got done. She got the cookie. And he was gone. He wasn't even in the house. He wasn't even on the property. He took off God knows where. So she ate the cookie, praise God. I've seen people pray. And about the time God's ready to give the cookie, they're gone. Stick around till you get the cookie. Stick around till you get the promise. He knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. I remember one time being prophesied over Brother Sutton and it was profound and it was mind-boggling and it was and I was so excited. And several years, in fact, my opinion, many years went by. And I finally got to thinking, well, I guess that was missed somehow. And then a few years later, I was in Rialto and I got to looking around. And every single thing that was spoken to me, God had brought it to pass. It took 15 years. And he's still bringing it to pass. In my opinion, he's just getting started. And I stand to him. I'm going to tell you something. You got to hang in there, baby. Don't throw it away. Don't throw away the blessings and the promises and the covenants. Brother, that's a lot to throw away. Amen. But she had a daughter-in-law named Ruth that stuck with her. King Saul threw away a crown and a kingdom. Amen. Because of jealousy. Gehazi threw away a calling and a ministry. Amen. For two garments and a piece of silver. Samson threw away a calling, a dispensation, a plan, amen, just for one more girlfriend. Hophni and Phinehas threw away, amen, the priesthood, the blessings for stolen offerings, full bellies, and lewd women. Judas Iscariot threw away the Messiah, amen, for 30 pieces of silver. Demas, a traveling companion of Paul, he threw away, amen, this gracious present truth for this present world that has long since passed away. The rich young ruler came, amen, and he was rich. He had been a good boy from his youth up. He kept the commandments. He said, what lack I yet? When Jesus told him, he got up, walked away, brushed the dirt off of his knees. He was sorrowful. He wasn't willing to pay that price. Brother, that's a lot to throw away. Do you understand what you could have been? Do you have any idea? Your name could be on one of the 12 foundations. It's an awful lot to throw away. But I'm also going to tell you, there's an awful lot to gain. Amen. Abraham, get up. Abram, leave thy country, thy kindred, into a place that I will show thee. I have to leave
friends and kindred and place a comfort zone and this and that. That seems like a lot to throw away. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to take you to a land of milk and honey. I'm going to give you promises. I'm going to make you a great nation. Amen. In your seed, all the nations. That's a lot to gain, brother. There's a lot to gain. There's a lot to gain. Moses, I know you're considered the son of Pharaoh. Amen. You're the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I know that there is a slim chance that you could possibly end up maybe someday being Pharaoh, at least being a high prince in Pharaoh's court and wielding gain and power and all of this. I don't understand why he would throw that away to cast in his lot with those sorry Israelites. Amen. And now he kills an Egyptian. Now he's on the backside of the desert. Nobody's heard from him for 40 years, and no doubt the devil pounced on his shoulder and say, that's what you threw away, amen, to befriend an Israelite. But brother, I'm going to tell you, it's an awful lot to gain, praise God, because nobody remembers Pharaoh except that he was a jerk, hallelujah, and everybody remembers Moses, that great man, that leader, that man of God, one of the towering figures of the entire world, hallelujah, always makes his way into any given list anywhere in the world of the top 100 people that ever lived. He's always in the top 10. Amen. Because somewhere he realized there's an awful lot to gain by living for God. Hallelujah. I will rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, I'll give all that up. I'll cast my lot in with the children of God. Because there's a lot to gain, brother. There's a lot to gain. Joseph, there's a lot to gain by staying faithful to the promises of God. Your brethren hate you. You're left in pits. You're put on auction blocks. Amen. You're accused in Potiphar's house. You're thrown into a prison. You're forgot. You interpret dreams for bakers and butlers. And butlers are delivered and go back to Pharaoh and forgets your name. Amen. You could get bitter anywhere you wanted to turn. But no, there's an awful lot to gain by just living for God and just staying faithful. Amen. His stock went down, 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 down for 20 years. But in one night, Pharaoh has a dream nobody can interpret. He has two of them. And before the next day's over, he is sitting on a throne. He is next to Pharaoh. He is controlling the wealth and the power of Egypt. He builds up seven stock years of plenty. And then the dearth begins. And before it's over, his brethren are coming in hat in hand, brother. And every dream he had from God is being played out before his. I'm telling you, there's a lot to gain in living for God. There's a lot to be found in staying faithful. It means a lot to say for me and my house. We ain't going nowhere. We're living for God. We're not going back. We ain't going to the left. We ain't going to the right. Our mind's made up. Hallelujah. And Naomi, as you make your way back to Bethlehem, Judah, and you turn around to your daughter-in-laws and say, I'm an old lady. I ain't going to have any more children. If somebody would marry me, and somehow I did have kids, you're going to stick around till they grow up. Go back home. Nay, my daughters, go back. She really painted a pretty bad, sad picture. And Orpha kisses her and goes back. Ruth cleaves to her. I'm going to tell you about God. He's more interested in people cleaving to him than he is people kissing him. I've seen people kiss him and go out and sin. But brother, you cleave to him. And she said, where thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. And I'm going to tell you something, little lady. Where you die, I'm going to be buried right next to you. Because I'm not letting go. And so this little Moabite girl coming into the land of promise, she's not of Jewish heritage. Amen. She's a Moabite. She's there. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, she was faithful and she was sweet and she was good and she was a hard worker. And before you know it, this old guy, Boaz, catches her eye and catches Naomi's eye. And before you know it, they're married and he's a rich man and they have a son and that son's name is Obed. And then Obed grows and he has a son and his name is Jesse. And Jesse grows up and has a boy and his name is David. You know, there's a lot to be gained in just living for God. There's a lot to be gained in hanging in there day after day, year after year, and saying, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Serve a Sunday morning, by the grace of God, I'm going to be there. Serve a Sunday night, by the grace of God, I'm going to be there. Wednesday night Bible, by the grace of God, I'm going to be there. Outreach, I'm going to be there. Prayer meeting, I'm going to be there. Amen. Because I made up my mind, I'm not going back. I'm not going to the left. I'm not going to the right. I'm going to follow in the footsteps of the flock. I'm going all the way to heaven. There's a lot to be gained, brother. And there's an awful lot to throw away. But boy, there's an awful lot to gain. Amen. And if you don't believe that, ask David. Standing before a giant. What a statement. I could talk about, well, I like David. And that giant says, I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air. Is this some kind of a joke? You got these little skinny sticks out here to fight me? And oh, how prophetically David says, you come with me with sword and stave. I come sword and shield. I come to you in the name of the Lord. That all the world may know that there is a God in Israel. And here we are. Amen. 32 centuries later. And there's people that don't know Genesis is from palms. Hallelujah. And I was one of them. But I'm going to tell you this much. I knew the story of David and Goliath. God has made it a point. All the world's going to know that little boy stood out, amen, and said, for me and my house, I'm not throwing away the heritage. I'm not throwing away the covenants. I'm not throwing away the adoption. I'll fight it to the death, even if it's a giant. And all the world, hey, brother, he became king. He became, amen, of the lineage of the house of David. That's where the Messiah was coming. There's a lot to be gained in living for God. There's a lot to be gained in continuing to walk with God. And Simon, Peter, James, John, Andrew, you gave up an awful lot when you left those stinky fish nets that were falling apart and had to be mended. But now your names are on the 12 foundations. Hallelujah. I wonder what the Jewish leaders thought about Saul of Tarsus, what he was giving up. He's crazy. That man is following the Christians. He was circumcised the eighth day. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. Amen. The righteousness of that of the law, he was blameless. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Roman citizen. He was from the great city of Tarsus. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And now he's following the sect of the Nazarenes. That's an awful lot to give away. And he gave it away. But he became the apostle to the Gentiles. If he wrote Hebrews, he wrote half of the New Testament books. Musicians come. He's the greatest missionary the world would ever know. He's the greatest expositor of truth next to Jesus and equal to Moses. He went to the third heaven. He beheld things too wonderful to tell. He stood before kings and emperors and declared the most glorious saving truth of the ages. He has now been basking in the glory of Almighty God as a faithful apostle for 2,000 years. He didn't give up much, but he sure gained everything. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Sir, madam, if perhaps you're here today and you're not living for the Lord, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot you're going to have to give up to live for God. Some of you may have to give up doing some jail time in the future. Some of you may have to give up some loneliness in order to embrace this beautiful family. Some of you may have to give up some addictions, maybe even some poverty and some deep sorrow and some regrets. Some of you may have to give up a shattered mind and a shattered heart, maybe shattered health. Some of you may have to give up some bad friends. And I hate to tell you, but you will have to give up hell. But I'm going to tell you something, there's an awful lot to be gained. I was in your shoes one day. I was a 19-year-old hippie. My shirt tails were out. I don't think my shirt was buttoned. My hair was down to here. I weighed 189 pounds. I don't see anybody in this building as skinny as I was. And it wasn't health. It was drugs. I don't think I had any shoes on. My pastor said, I think you might have had sandals, but I know you didn't have socks. And I walked into a church. And what was I giving up? But what did I gain? I got Jesus Christ, a good wife now of 37 years. Beautiful boys, daughter-in-laws, 6 beautiful grandchildren. A ministry by the kindness of God and people. What did I gain by the mercies of God? I'm pastoring a great church. I've got a great many friends. I've got a good home. I go on many travels. I read tremendous books. By the mercies of God, I've got my mind. When I've got friends that were so much smarter than me, who today can barely write their name, and many of whom are dead. I got much better health than I deserve. Much, much better, much better. Especially considering how I treat my body. My blood pressure the other day was 108 over 76. My blood sugar was less than 130. Man. My cholesterol was less than 130. Mercies of God. Mercies of God. What did I gain out of this deal? I've got hope of glory. I've got the Holy Ghost. Grace and love and peace and mercy. I'm allowed by the mercies of God to know Jesus. And he's been good to me. And he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I've got brothers and sisters all over this nation and all over this world. I've got family of God. I've got a pastor, I've got teachers. If I need it, I've got apostles. If I need it, God gives me prophets. If I need it, I got healing. I've got caring and provision. I've got an altar I can come to. I got a list as long as my arm. I got hope in this life. I got hope in the next. I got comforter. I got counselor and counselors. I've got a prince of peace. I got a burden bearer. I've got an advocate. I got an access to God. I can pray. I can worship. I can sing. There's beautiful music and there's fellowship with ministering angels. And it's here and it's real. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. I got a good friend of mine. Galen Walters told me the other day, I was 7 years old. My mother made a beautiful cake. We lived out in the country. I wanted a piece. My dad wanted a piece. My brothers wanted a piece. And mama wouldn't let us touch it. She said, no, but we're not eating this till tomorrow. It'll taste better tomorrow. We were disappointed and said, but mom, we live for God. We love God. And said, here came a knock at the door out there in the middle of nowhere. And there was a man. He said, he wasn't a hobo, but he wasn't dressed the nicest. And he was thin. And he said, I'm hungry. Do you have anything to eat? She said, we sure do. You come in here. She sat him down at the table, said, we all sat there and what? She cut him a big piece of that cake and gave him an ice cold glass of milk. We're saying, whoa, Mom. He eats it. He's nice. He gets up, says, thank you. Said, we all walked out on the front porch to say goodbye to this stranger. He walked down one, two, three steps, and he disappeared in front of our eyes. He said, what kind of an effect do you think that had on a 7-year-old boy? Which is why Galen is one of the givingest men I've ever met in my life. He said, it all comes back. I'm going to tell you something, brother. And people want to throw this away? I don't understand it. It's a lot to throw away. I've got a friend that's closer than a brother, and I've got my list. Here's some things you might consider trading off today. How about laying down? Let's pretend I'm talking to Israel, okay? Come on, Israel. Why don't you throw away some of your stubbornness? Come on, Israel. Give up some of the rebellion, some of the hardness, some of the traditions of men. Don't throw away the covenants and the mercies, the ministering of angels, the presence of God, the ordinances, the blessing. Don't throw it away so you can keep a little bit of self-will and disobedience and temporary pleasures of sin. I'm done. There is so much to be gained right now by whoever you are, stepping out where you are and coming down, whether you're saved or not, and saying, I ain't changing nothing. I ain't throwing nothing away, or I'm going to make me a trade this morning. I can do better by the mercies of God than what I've been doing. We're opening up this wall, this altar this morning. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. There's a God that loves you. He doesn't want you to be lost. He wants you to be saved. Don't walk away from all the promises and the blessings. But how about walking away from the pain and the disappointment and the disenchantment and the delusionment? Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. God's in this house. He's here and he loves you. He cares about you today. Come on, mama. Do it for your babies. Come on, daddy. Give them a better chance. Let's pray. Oh, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Exactly. That's it. Come on. That's it. Come on. That's it. Come on. Come on. That's it. Come on. That's it. That's it. That's it, sir. That's it, ma'am. Come on. Let's pray. God's here because God loves you. Oh, there's folks coming. They need the Lord. They want the Lord. They want what God's got for them. Oh, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's reach. Let's touch. God's here to help us. Oh, God, I'm going to give it all to you today, right now.
I will give you all.
Oh, yes. Brothers and sisters, pray with somebody. Somebody that needs the Lord, pray with them, touch them. God's here to help us. God's here to help us. God's here to help us. God's here to help us.
I will know with love.
house today. He's got it for you. Whatever you need, God's in this house. He's here to help you right now, right now. Up with somebody right by you there and lay your hands on them and pray for them. Would you call on the name of God over your brother, your sister this morning? Let that Holy Ghost flow in the house. Do that right now. Hallelujah. Pray, church. God's moving on somebody's heart right now. Pray, church. Press into that. Thank you.